RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, Indonesian wonder, and we'll continue our segment with miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo heading to West Kalimantan to attend Sail Karimata. Minister of Communication and Informatics targets all regions of Indonesia connected to broadband in 2017. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo was heading to West Kalimantan for working visit on Friday afternoon. He attended an open day event of Sail Karimata Street after inaugurating Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan and Deputy Minister Archandra Tahar. President Joko Widodo and his entourage took off by using presidential Air One through Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Force Base in Jakarta at 2:30 p.m. After arriving at Subadio International Airport Kubu Raya, President Joko Widodo continued to go to North Cikayon by using Super Puma helicopter belonging to TNI Air Force. He begins his walking agenda on Saturday and opens the event so-called Sail Karimata Street 2016 taking place in Datuk Island, North Cikayon, West Kalimantan. Besides, he will visit the regional plant festival and review the regional potential exhibition Sail Karimata Street Expo 2016. He along with his entourage did Salat Duhur together at the Great Mosque at Al Khair Osma before finishing his walking visit in West Kalimantan. Minister of Communication and Informatics Rudi Antara targets all regions across Indonesia are going to be connected to high-speed of data communication network broadband in 2017. This was affirmed by Minister Rudi Antara when visiting North Cikayon, West Kalimantan on Friday. He views that if Kalimantan wants to be well connected in internet network, he targets the installation of base transceiver station BTS is carried out in 75 locations. It starts from West Kalimantan to East Kalimantan so that all Kalimantan regions can connect through BTS. For West Kalimantan itself, 30 locations of BTS will be built to villages that are outside and adjacent to West Kalimantan. By building this pipeline, all West Kalimantan and Indonesia can connect to the internet by the end of 2017. Minister Rudi Antara further said that to maximize the network enhancement program, he will go to the farthest areas in West Kalimantan. Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin invited a number of national and religious leaders on Friday to discuss simultaneous regional head election to be held in 2017. He sat on the sideline of a closed-door meeting with national religious leaders in his office in Jakarta on Friday, that he thanked them for attending the meeting and sharing knowledge, giving inputs and offering advice so that they can maintain and strengthen an atmosphere of religious harmony. Chairman of the Indonesian Ulama Council MUI, Mahrud Amund, Secretary General of Muhammadiyah Abdul Muti and China's community figure Jaya Suprana attended the meeting. In addition, some national figures who were present are Indonesian Buddhist Council Walubi leader Suhadi Senjaya, Indonesian Catholic Bishop Conference Representative Edi Purwanto and other noted figures such as Uun Sendana Lingga Raja and Representative of STFT Dri Yarkarya Franz Magnus Suseno. Minister Lukman pointed out that the 2017 regional head election will have two important aspects, namely democracy and integration. 133 students from 39 countries and 100 members of Indonesian delegation are studying various Balinese cultures during the International Youth Forum, IYF 2016, in Bali. An Indonesian participant said on Friday that the students from around the world are discussing topics related to culture. The students are discussing several topics such as policy-making process and implementation of policies related to culture to prepare people to face global challenges. The International Youth Forum participants also shared their experience in preserving cultural values in this globalist era. The International Youth Forum 2016, which was being held in Bali from October 11 until 14, was organized by the Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry in collaboration with UNESCO. The forum promotes the theme of culture for an inclusive, sustainable planet, and it is a place for a young generation to play an active role in resolving global issues through culture. Iran is now supplier of liquefied petroleum gas LPG to Indonesia as Pertamina gets to a very large gas carrier arrived at the Calwood port in Situbondo, East Java. In a press statement, Pertamina Marketing Operation Region 5 East Java stated on Friday that LPG carrying ship was welcomed on arrival by state-owned energy company PT Pertamina's president director, Dwi Sucipto. Dwi remarked that the maiden arrival of the ship marked a new stage in the cooperation between PT Pertamina and national Iranian oil company NIOC, as it opened the door for more significant trade between Indonesia and Iran. He stated that the arrival also marked the opening of an opportunity for development of other businesses between Pertamina and NIOC in the upstream as well as downstream sectors. Indonesia and Australia will organize a meeting on October 28, 2016 to discuss about politics and security. The meeting of Minister of Foreign Affairs and Minister of Defense between Indonesia and Australia is the fourth one. Director of East Asia and Pacific at the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Eddie Yusuf, said that this meeting would show the tight cooperation between Indonesia and Australia. The meeting will also discuss about strategy against politics and security issues to boost peace and stability in both regions.
Nah, khusus untuk 2+2 dialogue tahun ini, ada 4 hal yang ingin dibahas. Yang pertama adalah
particularly for this 2+2, there will be 4 things that will be discussed. First is the achievement or next step for the previous commitment. Second is improvement and cooperation of contra-terrorism and de-radicalization. Third is cooperation, safety and maritime security, including regional cooperation, both in Europe, PERPON and East Asia Summit platform. Fourth is examining how to improve cooperation between Indonesia and Australia in Pacific. Eddie Yusuf also explained that Indonesia will develop trilateral cooperation, especially in a bid to boost cooperation of technical assistance with Pacific countries. Previously, the first 2+2 meeting took place in Canberra, Australia in 2012. The second one was in Jakarta in 2013, and the third one was held in Sydney in 2015. The last item, the 43rd Ministerial Conference of Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, will take place in Uzbekistan October 18 and 19, 2016. The conference in Indonesia will call on the countries of Organization of Islamic Cooperation to improve the cooperation in the education sector to build the glory of science in Islamic world and to use education as prevention of terrorism, radicalism, and extremism. Director of Social and Culture and International Organization of Developing Countries, Arko Hananto Budiardi, said that this annual event will generate series of resolutions about politics, economy, terrorism in Palestine and Syria. He also explained at the press briefing held in Jakarta on Friday that this ministerial conference still focuses on Palestine's issues.
Di dalam pertemuan KTM ini, Indonesia akan...
As we know, in this world, there are so many problems coming from conflict and war, both among countries and within countries. The current conflict is also noted by the OIC countries, including Indonesia, and how OIC addresses it effectively and provides solutions. Arko Hananto further said that through this conference, Indonesia will try to establish a forum in which Islamic countries can discuss concerned issues. Peace and conflict resolution forum is one of President Joko Widodo's suggestions conveyed in the summit last year, and it was well accepted. At this ministerial meeting, the boycott of Israel products in Palestine will also be discussed. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various significant events that occurred this week are reviewed by some of leading media in Jakarta and outlined in the press review. Let's begin with Kompas newspaper. In its editorial on Friday, October the 14th, the paper wrote, "Regulation on emasculation has not solved the problem." Regulation on emasculation or government regulation Ang Liu of Law No. 1, year 2016 and the Second Amendment Act No. 23 of 2002 on protection of children was issued by President Joko Widodo in May. The regulation came from proposals of many parties after a series of sexual violence against children in this country, which culminated in a sexual violence followed by a murder of a teenager in Bengkulu. It allows perpetrators of sexual violence against children receive a heavier sentence up to the death penalty. The regulation has also opened up a possibility for additional punishment in the form of chemical castration through hormones controlling. This has raised controversy. Of 10 factions in the House of Representatives, 9 approved on the regulation. The Great Indonesian Movement Party Gerindra rejected it, while Partai Keadilan Sejahtera Party agreed with some notes. According to Kompas, although it has already been approved into law, the execution of chemical castration still gets rejection from the Executive Board of the Indonesian Doctors Association. Of the various incidences of sexual violence on children during this time, many victims have difficulty in obtaining access to justice and sufficient recovery services. Without the comprehensive management, according to this newspaper, there will be more children become victims of sexual violence. Over now to Media Indonesia newspaper, which in its editorial on Wednesday, October the 12th, writes, "Eradicate illegal levies to fix public service." The practice of illegal levies is one of the most difficult diseases in bureaucracy of this country. Various surveillance systems have been implemented, but extortion practices in public services are still rampant. Ironically, these modes are not infrequently acted openly as what was done by a number of bureaucrats in the Directorate General of Sea Transportation, the Ministry of Transportation. In a red-handed operation in the ministry's building on Tuesday, October the 11th, the police seized some cash in 2 different locations of alleged bribery for sailor licensing. The raid was led by Police Chief General Tito Karnavian and witnessed by President Joko Widodo himself. Actually, not only in the Ministry of Transportation, such practices are still rife in public services sectors. According to Media Indonesia, firm action against the perpetrators of upscale extortion, and not just the lower classes, is also a full commitment and direct order of President Joko Widodo. Combating extortion operation is complementary policies to strengthen the deterrent effect for criminals and potential criminals in a wider scale. The policy is in line with the mission of the Corruption Eradication Commission to make this country more clean. Let's end with Republika newspaper, which in an editorial on Tuesday, October the 11th, writes, "Political parties condition." The Ministry of Justice and Human Rights said that there are 73 political parties with legal entities in Indonesia. However, not all of that amount will be following the 2019 elections because there are some political parties that do not meet the requirements of Law No. 8 of 2012. Republika writes, despite whether there will be a change in the law or not, all political parties taking part in the general elections in 2019 should be in line with the objectives of political parties themselves, which is to realize national ideals, keeping the integrity of the Unitary Republic of Indonesia, as well as developing democratic life and prosperity for all people. It is not expected that the number of political parties are only concerned with its own ideology and gain an important position in the government. If that happens, of course, the essence of democracy cannot be enjoyed together. That was Press Review over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our daily program Today in History over RRO Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, we begin our program with an event that happened on October 15, 1998, when the National Commission on Anti-Violence Against Indonesian Women was established. The National Commission on Anti-Violence Against Indonesian Women is an independent mission established for education of violence against women and enforcement of women's rights. The commission was established on October 15, 1998 in the basis of Presidential Decree No. 181-1998, updated by Presidential Decree No. 65 and 66-2005. The commission was demanded by civilians, especially women, to make government responsible to overcome all problems about violence against women. The demand stems from the tragedy of sexual violence experienced mainly by Chinese women during May 1998 riots in some major cities in Indonesia. The next event is that People's Republic of China launched Shenzhou 5. The People's Republic of China launched Shenzhou 5. This was their first human space mission on October 15, 2003. The spaceship, which carried the astronaut Yan Li Wei, launched at the 0 UTC at 9 o'clock of local time from Jiuquan Cosmodrome. The Shenzhou 5 launch used Launch March 2F. The launch was located at Kopi Desert. Totally, Shenzhou 5 landed at the next 21 hours after rotating the Earth 14 times on October 14th at around 10 past 23 UTC in Mongolia Dalam, and it missed about 4,800 meters from the initial launch location. Well, listener, went today in history by stipulation of Global Hand Washing Day by using soap on October 15, 2008. Global Hand Washing Day by using soap is an international campaign that was planned by United Nations in cooperation with both government and non-governmental organizations. The day aims to encourage people for using soap when washing their hands. The campaign also aims to decrease mortality on 2 or 5 years old and prevent any diseases. The day was stipulated in Stockholm at the annual World Water Meeting on August 17 until 23, 2008, in line with the stipulation of International Sanitation Day in 2008 by General Assembly of United Nations. Global Hand Washing Day by using soap is expected that people can improve their healthy practices, especially healthy behavior. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today it's on Finance Minister Sri Mulyani attends the World Bank and International Monetary Fund annual meeting. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani attended the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund annual meeting in Washington, D.C., USA from October 4 to 8, 2016. In a press conference on Wednesday, October 12, Minister Sri Mulyani explained that one of her missions then is to explain to the world about Indonesian Act on Tax Amnesty. While in Washington, D.C., Minister Sri Mulyani had a special meeting with the Financial Action Task Force. She explained to the leadership of the task force that the tax amnesty law is not being used to facilitate money derived from crime, such as human trafficking and money laundering. She also explained about tax amnesty program in bilateral meetings with U.S., Australian, Canadian, German, and the British finance ministers. She said the meeting was very important to get support for Indonesia when it needs the service of the automated information exchange in the framework of implementing tax amnesty. On the sidelines of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund annual meeting, Minister Sri Mulyani also took time to meet three international rating agencies, namely the S&P or Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch Rating Agency. The objective was to explain the latest development situation of the Indonesian economy. On that occasion, Sri Mulyani was accompanied by officials of the Financial Services Authority FSA and Bank Indonesia BI. Especially in the meetings with S&P, Minister Sri Mulyani, who is also former Director of Operation of the World Bank, emphasized the economic development that has been reported by the Indonesian government is crucial because until now the S&P has not pinned the investment grade for Indonesia. She hoped that Indonesia's economic situation updates can improve the investment rating. During the meeting, Minister Sri Mulyani and other countries' finance ministers also discussed a common issue, namely the avoidance of taxation of transactions which are hard to tax, such as online transaction or e-commerce. The main highlights of the tax issue is the tax case of internet giants from the United States, namely Google, Apple, and Amazon. She said the important thing is how to build a fair system of international taxation. All countries will not achieve a common goal to build the economy, reduce unemployment and poverty without collaborating in tax collection. That was focused today on Finance Minister Sri Mulyani attends the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund annual meeting. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo was heading to West Kalimantan for working visit on Friday afternoon. He attended an open day panel of Shell Kalimantan Strait. After inaugurating Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Ignatius Jonan, and Deputy Minister Archandra Tahar, President Joko Widodo is encouraged to go by using Press Shell Aircraft Air-1 through Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport Base in Jakarta at around 2:30 p.m. Minister of Communication and Informatics Rudiantara targets all regions across Indonesia are going to be connected to high-speed of data communication network broadband in 2017. Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin invited a number of national and religious leaders on Friday to discuss simultaneous regional head election to be held in 2017. 100 members of Indonesian delegation are studying various Balinese cultures during the International Youth Forum IYF 2016 in Bali. Iran is now a supplier of liquefied petroleum gas LPG to Indonesia as Pertamina gets to a very large gas carrier arrived at the Kalbut port in Situbondo, East Java. Indonesia and Australia will organize a meeting on October 28, 2016 to discuss about politics and security. The meeting of Minister of Foreign Affairs and Minister of Defense between Indonesia and Australia is the fourth one. The 43rd Ministerial Conference of Organization of Islamic Cooperation will take place in Uzbekistan October 18 until 19, 2016. The conference in Indonesia will call on the countries of Organization of Islamic Cooperation to improve their cooperation in education sector, to build the glory of science in Islamic world and to use education as prevention of terrorism, radicalism and extremism. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a great pleasure that we meet with you again in our program Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, the culinary arts, the fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. You can tune on this program by clicking www.voi.co.id. Listener, in Bontang is Kalimantan province, there is a beautiful island called Bras Basah Island. Bras Basah Island is a small island located in Makassar Strait in East Kalimantan province. Administratively, this island is supervised by Bontang Municipality, East Kalimantan province. This beautiful island is tourism destination for diving and snorkeling. According to local legendary story, Bras Basah is derived from bras or rice and basah or wet. Long time ago, there was a ship that belonged to Kutan Sultanate sailing in Makassar Strait. The ship loaded foods such as bras or rice. However, the ship was wrecked and the loads spilled into the sea. Fortunately, the loads, mostly rice, did not sink due to the shallow waters, but rather appeared as bombs. Eventually, it turned into a white sandy island as a rice that is always wet because it is surrounded by the sea. Listener, the size of Bras Basah Island is not too large, approximately 5 hectares, but its beauty is unquestionable. It has clean and white sandy beaches with clear turquoise seawater, plus coconut trees scattering in several places. All of these make it a comfortable shade for relaxing. In Bras Basah Island, you can rent banana boat and do another activity. If you want to rent banana boat, you have to pay 100,000 rupiah or less than $10. In addition, you may do fishing because it is appropriate place for fishing. Moreover, you can do diving and snorkeling in this island. You can also walk along the beach, and if you are lucky, you can see marine animals such as sea urchins, squid, and sea cucumbers. If you are bored with all activities related to water, in Bras Basah Island, you can also play sports as beach volleyball because the facilities are available here. Listener, to get to Bras Basah Island, which is about 220 kilometers from Balikpapan, you can use a private vehicle or air conditioning bus that costs 100,000 rupiah per person. Then from Bontang, you can continue toward Bontang Kuala or Tanjung Laut Harbor. From the Tanjung Laut Harbor, you can take a boat to Bras Basah Island that costs 45,000 per person. Or you can also rent a boat with a capacity for 10 people that costs 400,000 rupiah to 500,000 rupiah per vessel. Unfortunately, there are no homestay and restaurant in this island. If you want to stay in this island for several days, you can rent homestay in Bontang City, and always remember to bring your own ransom if you want to visit this island. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition with the topic The Beauty of Beras Basah Island, located in East Kalimantan Province. We will see you again with another interesting topic. Bye!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is NRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the turtle conservation, so stay tuned. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Indonesia has 6 of 7 species of sea turtles in the world. They all are in protected status in accordance with Regulation No. 7 of 1999. Nevertheless, conservation efforts of these protected species, such as the protection, preservation, and utilization aspects, still need to be improved. Among other is through the preparation of a roadmap document of turtle conservation management plans, and of course, followed by an action plan in the framework of implementation. Utilization of sea turtles in Indonesia has a long history. Since the ancient time, turtles have been hunted for their meat and eggs. This activity is said to be a subsystem in an effort to obtain alternative sources of protein to coastal communities. Increasing intensity of poaching activities and turtle slaughter continues in line with the influence of new technology. This has become commercial after World War II ended, along with the introduction of the motorboats and new techniques in fishing activity. Especially with the advancements of technology, the increase in population as well as increase in the variety and quality needs. This is motivated by an attempt to meet the needs of daily life and then develop into a commercial business activities. The rate of turtles' life expectancy to adulthood is very low. Experts say that only about 1 to 2% of the number of eggs produced in Indonesia. Turtles in Indonesia spread almost all over the islands, and around 143 locations have been identified. The presence of turtles lately increasingly pressed by the proliferation of illegal turtle trade, massive egg collections, and other issues related to human activity. In utilizing sea turtle resource, there are many irregularities committed against the principle of environmental conservation and its sustainability. Until now, the resource utilization of turtles has not followed the right ways, so there is an imbalance between the level of exploitation to the level of population growth. Over-exploitation, regardless of its preservation, will lead the status of turtles' population in the wild that is already scarce to increasingly endangered. Many regulations and instructions from the relevant ministries have been issued to protect the endangered animals, and also aims to socialize the relevant regulations, increase public awareness of the importance of turtle conservation, coordination to prevent and control poaching, as well as to enforce the law for protection of turtles, their eggs, parts of the body, nest, and monitoring the implementation of the turtle protection program. Hopefully, this regulation is not just made but also implemented by the various parties in Indonesia, including the people. That was Miscellany Today, which informed you about turtle conservation in Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Indonesian rock band Kotak. Kotak means four sides and four corners that are united and turned into a box. It describes four different people but united in one music taste. How is the career of Kotak band and what are their songs? We will find out soon after we are listening to a song of Kotak entitled Rock and Love.
Listener, you have just listened to the song from Kotak entitled Rock in Love. This song is a theme song of Rock and Love film, which was starred by Kotak personnel. This film was adapted from true story of Kotak Band. Kotak Band formed from the Dream Band competition in 2014. This band is composed by Sela as guitarist, Iches as bassist, Pare as vocalist, and Posan as drummer. Eventually, they released their first album entitled Kotak, and at the end of 2006, Kotak's vocalist and bassist decided to resign, and they were replaced by Tantri as vocalist and Chua as bassist. Accordingly, this composition brought luck for them and made Kotak more famous in Indonesian music industry until now. One of their new songs this year is a song entitled Haters. Well, listener, let's listen to a song from Kotak entitled Haters. Enjoy the song. Tantri and Chua now have returned to Kotak with their new song Haters after being vacuum over their maternity leave. They express haters phenomena through their new song Haters. In this song, Kotak gives slightly R&B rhythm. According to Kotak, Haters' song has colossal arrangement nuance. Uniquely, Chua also sings this song by rap. Listener, Another new song from Kotak is a song collaborated with a famous Indonesian singer who goes international, Anggun. Let's listen to a song entitled Teka Teki and have you listening. Listener, Anggun and Tantri idolize each other, and after all this time, they succeed to produce a song entitled Teka Teki. This song tells about a woman who wonders if there is herself in a man's heart that she loves. It requires extra effort to produce this song because Anggun and Tantri live in different countries. Therefore, Kotak must record the song first and then the record is sent to France because Anggun lives in France. Well, listener, that was Music Corner for today's edition that introduced you to Indonesian popular rock band Kotak. To conclude our segment, let's listen to a song from Kotak entitled Kamu Adalah. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Yang membawaku pada cintaku menakjubkan, bahagianya ku merasa kamu ada.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Kasih tapi ku masih ingin kau
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.